Welcome. Thank you for standing by. All lines are open for the duration of today's call. In order to avoid background noise, please use the mute feature on your phone or star six to mute and unmute your line. Today's call is being recorded now. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call back over to Andy Welch. Thank you. You may begin.
Thanks very much, operator. Okay, so welcome everybody to this week's HSCLV Advisory Group call. For some of us, we're on a different time schedule as daylight time has hit here in the States, although the UTC time remains the same. In the beginning of the call here, I'm just going to go through a quick roll call. Please let me know if your name was missed from my roll call or if I mispronounced your name. Apologies in advance. Just correct me. I've got Francisco Arias, Mike Connor, Mike Pelage, Simon McCullough, Eric Bruner-Williams, Brian Cute, Rick Wilhelm, Jeff Schmidt, Joe St. Sauer, David Giza, Steve Olson, and David Piscatello. Did I miss anybody? All right, fantastic. I do have a little quick, under the administrative section of today's call, a quick thought for the group. I know it's a little bit late for group participants that are out on the East Coast. I wanted to put it out there for thought and perhaps either response now or response in the email group on rolling the call back to its regular time. So it would be then 5 p.m. for the East Coasters and 2 p.m. for the West Coasters in the States, which would change the UTC time slightly, and on the morning call, roll that so that it would remain 7 a.m. for the West Coasters, and I think 10 for the East Coasters, so I'm doing my math quickly in my head correctly there. If everyone's in agreement, I can make that change for next week's call.
7 or 7?
That would be great.
7:30, yeah.
30, work yeah. On me.
All right, I'll make that change and send it out in the agenda and in the email group for next week's call. So I think it'll be more convenient
Andy?
For everybody.
Andy?
Yeah?
Before we go on, was that 7 or 7:30?
It was 7:30. That was my mistake. I'm sorry. I get the half hour confused on the meeting.
It makes
Andy,
a big
I
difference.
I won't be able to
West
participate
Coasters.
In calls at 5 p.m. on Wednesdays.
I'm sorry, what was that about 5 p.m. on Wednesdays?
I said I won't be able to participate in calls at 5 p.m. on Wednesdays.
Does this time work better?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
So, Andy, this is Pelage. What to do is let's and I'm just looking at the list here. We have only, a fraction of the people. So let's just, before we take any unilateral actions on this call, let's put it out on the list, the proposed change. We could sit there and then figure out what works best for the group, and this way,
we'll do.
Did it the democratic way as opposed to taking any unilateral action here today.
The iron fist of bad decisions, right? Okay, I'll send it out to the mail list this afternoon, Mike.
Now, another question while we're doing that is this: are we going to sit there then and change the start times for the next week? Are we just going to do the 5 p.m. the evening calls, or are we going to potentially switch the other time as well, the morning calls?
I wouldn't mind keeping the morning call an hour later. That's just me personally. It's a little easier for me to be alert and awake at 8 than it is at 7, but welcome to the group. Thoughts on that?
Okay. So here's what I'll do is I'll send out a maybe we can even do a doodle or something like that. I'll do something within the next, say, 24 hours, sending it out to the group to see what we do with times. Do we switch all of the times by 1 hour? Do we switch one, not the other? We'll have closure on this issue before the end of the week. So beginning next week, we know several days in advance how people need to schedule their time accordingly. All right.
Perfect. It should also give us time to adjust with Verizon on the call as well. That's perfect. Okay. So next on the administrative list is the agenda. Does anybody have any concerns, questions, or desired changes to the agenda. I'm going to hold off on the next item, which is the introduction of new members. I think, Mike, you want to kind of get into that a little bit, so I'll let you sort of take that, obviously.
So,
everyone know, the last piece of administrative issues here is in the control draft workspace. We have actually a fairly fleshed-out skeleton, what I'll call a totally draft skeleton now, with controls for each principal, but they really need focus and comment and changing and correcting and all kinds of work. So just let everyone know it's out there. If you have a chance to get to the wiki, that's where they're posted. It is a pretty comprehensive list, but I'd encourage everyone to take a look and really start getting comments, push them out to the email list, and really let's start taking those and making them better. So that's just that last piece there. With that, Mike, I'm going to turn it over to you. I think you wanted to talk a little bit about the new members, maybe bring them up to speed and so forth.
Well, yeah, what I want to do is, and you have the list, Andy. I know Eric Bruner-Williams. I heard Eric's voice, and I know he's a new member. Based upon the information from the bridge provider, do you know of any other new members that we have on? Or maybe I'll just put it out there. Are there any new members besides Eric that are joining the group post-Nairobi for the first time?
This is Rick Wilhelm. I'm new.
Rick? All right, Rick. Okay, so we got Eric and Rick. Just to sort of give you a little sort of update on where we're at, have either of you been able to go through the wiki as well as the mailing list to get up to speed? Do you have any questions that we might be able to sort of ask or help get you up to speed on at this time?
Mike, I didn't actually get a copy of the agenda or the pointer to the mailing list archives or to the workspace.
Okay. I think, put it this way, Andy, when you send it out, if you – all right, let me start again. Eric, are you on the mailing list right now, yes or no?
I don't think so.
Okay. is Craig Schwartz on the call?
He is not, but I can catch up with him to make sure that Eric gets put onto the list.
Okay, because when you do get on the list, Eric, one of the things that you will see in the agenda that we send out every week is there is a list up to the archives as well as to the wiki and all that stuff. And what I'm doing right now is I'm sending it to you directly.
Great. Yeah, I'm assuming that everything will be more or less like all the OSC work, that there'll be a Adobe Workspace and...
Correct. And are you still at NIC-NAA.net? That still works for you? All right, I'm sending that to you right now. Rick, have you been added to the list properly, and have you been receiving email notifications?
Yeah, I got added sometime this week. I don't recall.
Okay.
I've been getting about half dozen messages this week, I think.
Okay, excellent. That's about right. So, again, just to get you up to speed, we have, to date, we're dealing with controls and stuff like that. I think you should be able to pick up pretty quickly. Nothing has been written in stone to date. We've generally worked in a rather collegial atmosphere. At times, though, there has been some tension within some members of the group regarding either the voluntary or compulsory nature. We are trying to leave that on a sidetrack right now, not taking any action on it, but trying to focus our attention more on the control elements. The one thing I would like to say to the group, based upon what I heard last week, was that staff has identified this as one of the issues that must be resolved as part of the overarching issues. There will probably be a lot of attention on this group to have a work product done before Brussels. I don't mind people trying to push us forward. People know my opposition to timelines, but I think we'll push forward with all due diligence, and we'll try to get the work done as soon as we can. That's it.
Mike, this is Jeff Schmidt. Can I say something quick about timelines as a general statement?
Sure, Jeff.
So I think that this group could probably use some feedback from ICANN staff and relevant folks about what types of timelines and expectations there might be for this group based on the range of things that happened in Nairobi. And some of you guys were there and a lot closer to it than I've been, but my kind of understanding from afar is that there might be more of an understanding of the timeline for the future draft applicant guidebooks and what might be needed or required in advance of Brussels and all that sort of thing. And I think it would help this group if everybody was just clear and upfront with our timing and expectations with respect to if we need to have things contributed to the next DAG or things like that.
Sure. Here's my understanding, Jeff, and then maybe ICANN staff can correct me if I'm wrong. Under standard operating procedures, the board mandates that staff produce documents, I believe, 21 days, 15 or 21 days before the Brussels meeting. So that would probably be the end of May, probably at the latest, or within the first week of June, given the timing. So that is when documents would need to be out, and ICANN has stated that it is their intention to produce the next day in advance of the Brussels meeting. So that to me is kind of one of the timelines. Dave, I think you are Dave Piscatello and David Keyes, I believe, are the only ICANN staff members on the call right now. Could you sort of confirm those perhaps protocols or timelines with documents in advance of Brussels?
Yeah, this is Dave Piscatello. The 21 days in advance of the ICANN meeting is a board request. Other than that, I know that Craig and Greg and Kurt have been deliberating what has to be done when, but I was on vacation the last 4 days of last week, so I'm actually not the best person to be asking about those times. I will find out what they are, and Craig and I will post them on the list.
Yeah, and this is Dave Giza. I would say that Mike, you're generally correct in all of the presumptions that you've stated here on the call, and when Dave Piscatello gets a chance to confirm that with the other members of ICANN staff, then that information will be absolutely accurate and available to everybody here on the call.
Okay, hi, Mike. Can I get the floor for a second?
Who's that, Andy?
Yeah.
Well, Andy, go.
Hey, I asked a similar question of Greg and Kurt a few weeks ago, so pre-Nairobi, so this might have changed a little bit from the Nairobi meeting. And I think Dave and I can probably get together and figure this out. But at the time, there was a strong desire to get something sort of final draft May 1st-ish, which is around actually physically May 3rd, the week of May 3rd, so that we'd have enough time to go through drafting and changes to get lined up with applicant guidebook 4 for Brussels. So that's just that was what was out there at the time. I put together a real sketch sort of timeline for mechanically what we could deliver around that time frame, and I can get that out to you and the group as soon as I kind of revisit it and make sure the dates are somewhat valid. But if you look at it with that lens and then sort of put that lens on the snapshot development releases we have, that really means we have maybe one snapshot development at the beginning of next month that we could put out as draft with some options in it for public comment. And then, based on that, take some of that information back and include it for the second snapshot development release, which would occur in the beginning of May. That kind of lines up, I think, with what it would take to get there. But again, I can, I'll confirm those dates and get back to you as soon as I can.
So here's one of my concerns is the current high security zone snapshot that we've put out is the public comment period is closing on April 10th. So my
Brad.
Concern here is we're going to be putting out another snapshot before the comment period on the first snapshot. I'm just worried about are we trying And this is one of the reasons I have an aversion towards timelines, because some things tend to get pushed forward. But I recognize that, you know, that this is ICANN, the ICANN board, and if you will, the ICANN staff has identified this as a prerequisite as part of the overarching issues. And this is now a prerequisite before the communication period, communications program could launch. And again, I don't want to dwell on this too much here, because I would like to get to some of the substantive work on the control element. So, you know, I'll just leave it at that, and we'll try to, if you'd like, forward that potential timeline to the group, and then it's probably make best use of our time to discuss it online.
Yeah, and then what I'll do, I'll use that as sort of a starting point, knowing that it may be wrong with some of those timelines, Mike, and I'll sharpen my pencils with the ICANN staff guys and see if we can really get some more precision around it so that it sort of ties in. Sound good?
Sounds good. Is there anyone else before we start getting into some of the meat of some of the documents and control elements that Andy has been posting on the wiki recently that would like to talk about this issue besides timelines? Jeff, did that answer your question properly, or would you perhaps like a further explanation?
Mike, this is Evan.
Evan?
I'm a little bit confused by some of this, because we've been talking an awful lot in previous calls of how this did not have to couple itself directly to the DAG. Since it's an optional program, any future or, in fact, existing TLD has an option to ask to be a part of this. Is there any... Is the board actually saying that this has to be part of the DAG, part and parcel of it? That wasn't what I got out of it. I was under the impression that this is still a program that, while it is a desirable part of the communications component, does not necessarily have to be a built-in part of the DAG, and probably, for the sake of emphasizing its voluntary nature, really should be decoupled.
Evan, personally, I could not agree more with you, and as a person who's been advocating decoupling this from the DAG since the very first call, I fully concur with everything you just said there. That being said, everything, although I did not attend, I actively did participate remotely, and every session that I heard had malicious conduct as a prerequisite, and under the topic of malicious conduct, the work of this group was specifically referenced. Now, if this group does want to perhaps send a communication to the ICANN board or to perhaps Kurt, since he is overseeing the new GTLD process, and request that this be decoupled so we can continue our work without other external forces trying to speed it up or slow it down, I think I would be supportive of that.
I'll just go a step further, at least from my participation in the meetings. I think a lot of this expectation was as much trying to raise the bar of the RAA in its modification talks to try and enhance at least the bottom standard of what was malicious conduct was acceptable. So there is a dual attempt, one of which is to make the RAA a little bit stronger in preventing malicious activity, as well as the enhanced program. I think there's a desire both ways, but what I read out of this was there's also a very big movement to try and enhance even the core behavior that all TLDs must adhere to that's pretty well beyond the scope of this project.
Okay.
This is Mikey.
Mikey, go.
I just joined the. I'd like to support the thoughts that the two of you had. I think it'd be great to decouple this from the DAG. So I just wanted to chime in, saying me too.
Yeah, hi guys. It's Simon here from the UK. I agree. I concur with those points. I think if we're forced to rush something through, we're going to end up with something that's going to please some parties and be very, very unpopular with others.
Okay. So perhaps what I will do is, on my list of things to do as co-chair, I will, one, send out a doodle within the next 24 hours on the time. B, I will send out, if you will, some proposed text that we may communicate to ICANN, you know, formally requesting that this be decoupled, however, showing our intent to continue to move forward with this work. Because obviously I think people that have devoted time to this initiative care about what we're doing, and we just don't want other external forces to muck it up. Okay, so I think at this point in time, what I'd like to do, Andy, is turn it back to you at this time so that we could perhaps start going through some of the control elements that you have posted. Give us an update on that on the wiki. And I will manage the queue for any of the participants that would like to jump in or contribute. So I'll turn it back to you, and let's move forward, please.
You got it, Mike. So everyone, just so you know where I'm looking, on the wiki, I put a couple of links. I put a link called the Control Workspace Draft up there under the principles, topics, objectives, and sample criteria from the main HDLD Advisory Group wiki page. You click on that, it takes you to sort of the control workspace, if you will. And in this workspace, I've tried to at least get a preliminary control for all of the principles and objectives that are up there. And I've taken probably too great liberty in doing this, so I'm probably not correct in some of the controls and the wording of some of the controls, but it's a starting point that we can all use to look at, to focus on, to get these controls to where they need to be. So just be aware, I bear no ego in these controls. If I've gotten them wrong, that's okay. In fact, it's good for me to get them wrong so that with the group we can get them right. You know, at least there's something we can look at and get these things moved forward. With that huge, massive disclaimer put down, the controls come from several general sources at this point that some or all of you may be familiar with. They're from the ISO 27002 series of controls. There's a little bit of WebTrust EV 1.1 mixed in there. There's some, let's see what else did I put in here. There's stuff from the draft applicant guidebook, which, of course, would be presumably sort of a control that everybody would have. So that's sort of a layup control, if you will. There's some stuff from the APWG in there. And I think that's pretty much the main sources that I drew from creating the controls. Evan, I took probably huge liberty in trying to fill out principle number 4. You know, have a real good look at that. I tried to put stuff in there that I thought would fit underneath that principle. But again, I think, you know, you were probably thinking about specific things when coming up with a principle. Make sure that the controls I put in there sort of aligned to your thinking.
I'm having a look at it. I think you've done a fantastic job. There's actually one or two other people from at large, such as Garth Bruin, who I might want to try and bring into this because he's done an awful lot of security work with us. But the work you've done, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and, you know, considering how little you've had to work with, it's phenomenal.
Thank you, Evan. Thanks very much for your support, by the way. I feel like I'm going out on a limb. You'll see some of the controls have NA next to them.
Yeah.
And that really literally is because I'm trying to create something without a basis. So those would be like controls really literally pulled out of the air trying to fill out those objectives.
Understood.
They're probably the weakest ones. You'll also
Andy, hi. Andy, it's Simon here again. Second Evan's point there. I think one of the nice things about this grid is that you've included those, very clearly included things like the ISO standards. I know some of the criticisms and perhaps some of the more negative comments about the group is that we're trying to create a new set of standards, and what's really nice here is you're taking existing standards and saying, let's use these existing standards, which I think is fantastic.
Thank you, Simon. One of the things I do want to point out is, at this point, the grid is only reflects where I got the initial thought for the control, all right? It doesn't necessarily reflect where there may be overlap. So, for instance, there's access control in one of the line items. It's an ISO 27002 control. I bet if I looked at different types of international control standards, we could find a very similar control across a number of them. I haven't gone through that, what I'll call Rosetta Stone exercise yet, and I think that may be something we want to leave up to the community. I don't know if any one of us has enough knowledge to get all of the control standards from across the world. I certainly have knowledge of some of them, and I'll try to fill out as much as I know. But you know, my knowledge is limited too. But it may just be a community sort of effort to try to get all that done.
And Simon, this is Mike Pelage here. One of the things that we had discussed earlier in the work of this group was expanding perhaps another column of that list to try to link it up to actual practices in the existing domain namespace. One of the things potentially you could be incredibly valuable for, particularly with your relationships with Center, is linking this up to some of the ccTLD best practices, if they do have any. We have a number of gTLD registries and registrars, but if you could help out, because what we're trying to do is to show are these currently being used today in the namespace, and we think that that's kind of important because we do want to potentially look at some of the cost elements involved in this, that's one of the things that we've looked at. So you would definitely be very your contributions there would be very helpful to the group.
Yeah, we'd be really happy to go down this, as you say, add an extra column in and effectively say, yep, this is done just to kind of generally accepted best practice, or this is a specific center standard or agreed standard. I'm certainly happy to have a first a crack at that.
Oh, fantastic. One other extremely important note, woven throughout the cells are various question marks, and that's where, as I was writing, I began to realize that my knowledge set about how things like partnership agreements between the entities work is pretty weak. I'm not a lawyer. So I tried to put down what I thought might be in place. It's really weak. So the first thing I might do if I'm taking a review of this from the group is do a search on the question marks. I'm sure I've got at least some of those wrong. So anyone that can help with those areas right off the bat, I think either validate that I got it right, which is going to be rare, or confirm that I got it wrong and tell me how we should either state it or change it, that would probably be a very big help so we can remove those question marks. Okay, with that being said, there's so many controls, it probably doesn't really pay to go through them one at a time. I think that we should do that offline. What I think we should do is open up a quick QA. I know they've only been out there since this Monday. I posted them Monday morning Pacific time. Does anybody have any existing questions since the post? I know it's brand new, so there's probably not a lot of questions out there.
Andy, this is Evan. I've got a quick one, and it has to do more with access to it than anything else. Do you have a problem with me inviting other people that I'm aware of within the at-large community who have a security background, even though they may not be part of this group, to have a go-over of the controls? And any feedback that they have, they'll relay through me. Do you have are you okay with that? And secondly, are we going through the convention in the past where put any comments into this in bold so you see where they're new or adjusted?
Evan, so on the first point, I would absolutely encourage as many people to look at this as possible. That's why I put it on the wiki, actually. I believe this is viewable by anyone in the community. So I would absolutely encourage, if you know people that would have knowledge that would really contribute to making this a better work product, let's get it out there and try to get them interested in looking at it. So absolutely,
They have viewing ability. I have editing ability. If they suggest changes, I can put them in on their behalf in bold.
Perfect. And I like that bold statement, too, because one of the things I'm a little concerned about is sort of version control. And if we do it like this, if we funnel through the members of this group the bold changes, then we can get a process of every so often as a group reviewing those bold changes and then flipping those to non-bold because they become accepted changes. I think that's a fantastic way to do it.
All righty.
I'm assuming that was the process you were describing.
Yes.
Any other questions? Okay. I don't know if we want to dig into any specific areas. The other area that I bring to everyone's attention is wherever. So I'd start reviewing for bettering of the document. I would start by looking at the question marks, and then maybe start by looking at the NAs. The NAs are things where I couldn't find, I didn't know off the top of my head a good control standard that I could match a control against. So the control, the controls described for those NAs are self-authored. And so they talk about things like certificate of formation, charter documents, business licenses, doing business, all of the things that really are business entity level controls. I don't have a really, I've never been an operator of a TLD, so unfortunately my knowledge set there is fairly weak. So I would encourage everyone to sort of triple, double check my work there because I'm sure I've got some of that wrong. With that said, I don't have a whole lot more to add about the controls at this point. I think the best use of time would be for everyone to sort of really start looking at them. I think the way I approached this in developing it was I did it in chunks because there's so many of them. I think it would be really challenging to sit down at one time and go through all of them without your brain turning to mush. What I suggest is just, you know, bite off 10 or 20 at a time and just kind of go through them. And apportion a little time to do it that way. It's a little bit more reasonable to do it. And what I'll probably get to next in terms of content development, draft content development, is fleshing out the card and certification options a little bit more. We have some content up on the wiki now. I was going to add a little bit more depth of content there next to sort of focus myself over the next week and where I'm going to look at. That's what I have. I don't know, Mike, if you want me to go any deeper into any of these areas or not, but I think that's it for now.
Well, I mean, we have 23 minutes left. You know, here's what I would encourage you to do. You had talked about taking a block. So how about you start going through ones with the question marks where you wanted our feedback, and let's make productive use of the 23 minutes we have here by starting with the question mark controls first to get the group feedback.
You got it. So the first question mark control is actually under 1.2. Registry IT infrastructure availability. And if you do a find for the question mark, you'll see there's one. It's an NA control, as expected, and it talks about registry agreements, and it talks about SLA. And it says the SLA should define, it basically talks about what should be in the SLA. And I gave five components that I thought should be in the SLA. I think they make sense. And then there's a sixth that kind of says, is there anything I'm missing? That was the nature of that question mark. So for those that are familiar with registry agreements, the first question is, does SLA make sense? And the second question is, did I cover enough topics if the SLA makes sense? That's the first question I had.
And unfortunately, we don't have GoDaddy on the call, do we? Let me ask you this question. What is it?
I was going to say, we can move on if we don't want to talk about SLA.
Well, no, I think SLA is a good point. And perhaps we have, what is it, we have Brian Cute and Simon. Simon, does the Nominet have SLAs that you might be able to forward to the group for us to take a look at? I'm actually going online right now to try to see what GTLD registry SLAs are available.
Mike, all of us have SLAs in our agreements.
Yeah, we do have them. We're currently reworking some of them at the moment as it happens. And actually, funnily enough, we put out a survey with Centre just recently saying what are the SLAs that you guys currently work to, particularly around things like uptime of services, that kind of stuff.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So that work may dovetail right into what makes a good one then.
Yeah, certainly. If going down these in the review, I'll certainly see what we see how far we've got with that survey. I'm not sure where the results are at the moment.
And perhaps then, Simon, if you could just at least identify with the questions in the survey, the areas you were looking at, that should be able to help, if you will, flesh those out. And, Eric, I agree with you. I know the ICANN agreements do have SLAs. I'm just trying to find the specific things to forward that to Andy to digest. So there we go. See, Andy, we made good use of our 23 remaining minutes. We now have 20 minutes left. Well, let's go to the next question, Mark.
So the next one is about where it's about registry agreements, and I think it's also under 1.2. Let me just a little bit unwieldy point. Yeah, so it is also under 1.2, and basically it says registry agreements should provide provisions for conducting WHOIS performance tests by an independent third party. These provisions should include, and I put down sort of two provisions. One would be providing the HSCLD registry operator with an advance notification of the opportunity to evaluate the testing tools and procedures to be used by the independent third party. And number two, written notification to the HSCLD registry operator containing the results of any testing within an agreed-upon time frame, including the method used for testing and the location of testing. So really it is about a good process and communication about how to do something like that within the registry agreement. And then, so my question really was, similar to the SLA, does that make sense? And then if it does, am I missing anything? So that there's like a three with a question mark. I've got those two sort of things in there. Is there perhaps a third or fourth or fifth that would make more sense or be a better control?
So when you talk about testing, Andy, there, are you just saying that they meet their requirements within, say, an SLA, or what are you looking to test with regard to WHOIS, just that it's available? Because, you know, David Giesa, perhaps you may be able to contribute here. What does ICANN do right now? I believe your group has looked at WHOIS availability as part of your compliance group work. So perhaps you could tell us what ICANN is doing right now from a compliance standpoint, and then does this dovetail into what this group is doing, or is this something above what ICANN is doing? So, David, maybe you could contribute on this issue right here.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, what we're currently doing is we're beta testing a software tool that we've developed for purposes of testing the accuracy of WHOIS Port 43 service that's currently available through various ICANN accredited registrars. And that tool is in beta test right now, so there isn't a lot that I can say about it other than, it has some adjustments that need to be made before we can actually release the information about the tool and demonstrate the tool, you know, to the general public. So that particular tool, I think, would be relevant, but quite honestly, I haven't had a discussion with Andy or others about where that tool would integrate into this process. So we may want to just leave that for discussion and debate at this level, or in the alternative, Andy and I may need to have an offline discussion first, and then we can come back to the group with some suggestions.
Sure.
Yeah, David.
Go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say, yeah, I could definitely set some time up and do that. No problem. That would be great, actually.
Okay, so what happens here, David, let me ask you again a question. I believe most of your focus has been on registrar. Would this tool equally be applicable to registries? Because registries do, I believe, have WHOIS obligations as well. Or are you just looking primarily on the registrars or all ICANN contracting parties?
Yeah, at the moment we're focused on registrars, but the tool has enough flexibility, Mike, where it could develop into a much broader application that would include registries.
Okay, and then I guess the question goes back, Andy, is if in fact ICANN deploys this tool, it then is, Evan, you'll like this, mandatory. Sorry, Evan, just trying to, you know, keep a little humor here. If in fact this then becomes a mandatory tool in the group, then do we really need to potentially have this as a control element? Guess so. Let me stop right there. Since ICANN has said that this program would potentially be open to all TLD operators, not just CGs, but also Cs, We probably should leave it in there, even if ICANN makes it mandatory through another component. So I just answered my own question there. Sorry.
Eric, let me ask a question, if I may.
Eric, you have the floor. Go.
I heard the word accuracy in the description of this Port 43 tool that's in beta. Are we discussing accuracy or are we discussing availability?
This is Dave Giza. The tool is actually intended to do both, to first and foremost verify that the Port 43 WHOIS service is currently available and accessible to the general public. And then the second intended function of the tool is an effort to automate some of the accuracy checking that we do today, currently, through our WDPRS, WHOIS data problem reporting system.
Registry that you're going to be counting on Port 43 so that you aren't blacklisted.
Oh, absolutely. We would definitely do that, as we go forward with the beta test.
Okay, and perhaps and Simon, I didn't hear Simon speak up, but I think the CCs, any CCs that potentially would want to voluntarily participate in this program that may use this tool that would be looking at underlying data, I think there's potentially data privacy issues that would have to be potentially addressed. So, David, when you do have a little more to share with this tool and what data sets it will be accessing and how those will be used, I think that will be important, particularly for those registration authorities, registries and registrars that operate in Europe and operate in a much more rigid regime on those issues. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, hi guys. Yeah, it's Simon here. Yeah, that is absolutely correct. We do have privacy law issues. Having said that, I don't think we should be too scared of them. I think we've just got to be mindful of them and make sure that we don't breach them when we do anything.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree with that.
This is Mikey.
Mikey, go.
If that's true, then we may want to take a look at rewriting this particular control, since it's right now phrased as a third-party control. If ICANN's going to be doing it, we may want to rewrite with that in mind, or at least have a discussion about which way we want to go on that.
Excellent point. As I said, I think we're going to wait to see where David and his group comes up with this beta tool. But if this is something that is going to be part of ICANN compliance, I agree. It's probably best to have ICANN do it as opposed to a third party. I don't know. I mean, that was my initial thinking. Mm-hmm. Anyone else on the group?
This is Evan.
Evan, go.
Again, I think we're getting into that sort of gray area about what's going to be part of, the core, the standard core expectations. What's the standard expected of everyone as opposed to the enhancements that are going to be expected of the higher bar of the HS program? I think it may be that at a lot of basics that are covered by this dashboard, I think this may be part of what the public may expect of all TLDs, not just the high security ones.
Okay.
This is Mikey. I agree with Evan on that, and what we might want to do if that happens is highlight that migration. So flag this as one of those things that may be migrating out of this document and into a broader standard that's applicable to all gTLDs. I don't know how it would get to ccTLDs, but at least we could identify it as something that's no longer in the high security part, because it's assumed that it's going to be applied to all, and then alert the community to that.
Mikey and Evan, again, the one thing I'm agreeing with, or I am not disagreeing with what you're saying. The only thing I think we want to be a little flexible in is, since this is designed not just for those registration authorities that are contracting parties with ICANN, we may want to have some flexibility to perhaps include some of those criteria. I'm just putting that out there for consideration before we start taking things out.
Oh, absolutely. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that this is going to be things that are taken out. I would say that if this may be considered a core thing, then what we're doing will build upon what is already being established as the baseline. We may put more stringent controls on what are assumed at the baseline and essentially putting in verification mechanisms. So, sorry, I didn't mean to construe that simply because this is a core thing means it gets taken out of what we're doing, simply that we may be building upon it as opposed to using the base of the dashboard.
Okay, excellent. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Rick, Jeff, I don't think you've spoken up on any of these issues. Do you have anything to contribute right now? Or?
Yep, no.
Excellent. All right, just want to make sure everybody gets a turn at the mic. Andy, we have 10 more minutes. Perhaps we could get one or two more question marks fleshed out on today's call.
I bet Andy's on mute.
Or Andy's doing a control alt to look for the next question mark.
Sorry, Andy's on mute and has been talking for the last 30 seconds thinking everyone's been hearing him. Sorry.
What you said was brilliant, Andy.
Oh, yeah.
I called everything. I can go now. I'm sorry. The next one is just a few cells underneath. It's under who is accuracy and completeness. And it's due to my lack of knowledge. Basically, the control is the HSTLD registry operator should provide access to up-to-date data concerning domain name and name server registrations maintained by registry operator on a daily schedule. Well, the question is it daily or more frequently or less frequently? I didn't know the frequency of that stuff.
Okay, so
go ahead.
I'm sorry, Andy. I jumped in. I'll let you finish your sentence. I apologize.
Yeah, I was just trying to finish up. Basically, it's a frequency question. Is it relevant, and is my frequency way off?
This is Rick. It's typically real time.
Okay.
Rick
was asking what?
Rick, do you think it's real time? The reason I ask that is historically, with regard to the dashboard, ICANN delays by 3 months, if you will, registration volume numbers. I mean, I know some people download the zones and try to do some calculations, but contractually, when the registry reports are provided by GTLD registries to ICANN, ICANN generally withholds posting that information for a three-month period of time.
Sorry, I might have been answering a different question. I thought you were asking about who is accuracy and completeness.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike. Okay. This is Mikey. I think at least my reading of that cell isn't the same as the publishing of the numbers.
Okay,
The actual content of the WHOIS data. Andy, this is probably back to you. What were you describing in that cell?
Maybe I'm using the wrong language. It's providing access to the domain name and the name server registrations that are maintained by the registry operator. So it's providing it to the external world, and if that's done on a just-in-time basis, I'm not sure.
Yeah, and see what happens is sometimes a registry, as far as the names that are in a database, not every name in the database are included in the zone file. So you may potentially be looking at imposing another obligation on a registry operator, maybe this is something that is tied into the high zone, but you're actually asking for more data than a registry currently gives right now when it publishes its zone file.
Correct. So, that's what I'm trying to ask for in the control, and my language and my frequency may not. I'm a little weak there. I apologize.
Yeah, and one of the things, too, and I have already submitted these comments in an individual capacity to the high security zone, but there is a reason why the U.S. government, in connection with .mil and .gov, do not hand out their zone files freely to anyone who asks. So, you know, if we're talking about high security here, and let's just suppose HSBC has .HSBC, do they theoretically want to be showing some of their architecture of how they've laid out their DNS to potential criminals? Let's just suppose I'm just throwing these ideas out here as to, is this necessarily a good thing?
It's Andy. Can I get the floor for one more second?
Yeah. Go.
I actually read your comment on that. I thought it was really good. So I tried to provide a compensating control for that. And the next sentence, it says, the specification of the content, the format of this data, and the procedures for providing access shall be according to the registry agreement. So in other words, like if what I was envisioning was exactly the U.S. government. So maybe they've got some top secret, you know, black ops TLD, and they've got in their registry agreement that they aren't obligated to provide this information. That second part of the control would fall into effect and would protect them. The same could be said
worried.
About.
Okay. Okay. No, that's a good point there. And again, I'm not so worried about us protecting the U.S. government because they still have the root. I'm worried about providing perhaps other governments equal protection or equal rights as the U.S. government has. Just a little levity there.
The Mike Pelage compensating control. I stole it shamelessly from you. So.
Go. Thank you. We have 4 minutes left. We could try to get to another question mark if we would like. Do you have another question mark in your control list there handy?
Oh, yeah. This is going to be an interesting one. This is under Articles of Incorporation. We had a little blurb about that in the original paper, so I put that in here. This falls under principle number 2, registry security verification. And what this control says is the HSTLD sponsor should verify whether the articles of incorporation of the candidate registry operator specify, and then I give 4 criteria. The purpose of the organization, that's number 1. The organization's name, number 2. Place of business, number 3. Key officers, number 4. So I gave those 3 criteria, and I wasn't sure, again, if this A made sense, B was too much, C was too little. So there's a number 5 with a question mark there trying to delineate those 3 things, basically saying, did I ask for enough criteria? Did I ask for too much criteria? And then there's always the question of, does this control even make sense?
I guess one of the questions that I would have, and I think ICANN has already begun to ask some of those questions as part of the DAG, as part of getting into the background, where they've talked about any, I think, criminal activity as far as the officers go. The one question I would ask about, if you will, perhaps expanding it further, was, if you can have an organization, say, where the shareholders of a registry are, let's just say, organized crime that goes out and gets a bunch of nice front people that have impeccable records to be the, if you will, the officers or the operators. Perhaps when you're looking at a high security zone, you may not just want to be looking at the officers, but perhaps the shareholders who may be deriving the benefit from the operation of that. You know, and ICANN historically has looked at, you know, people that own more than 5 or 15. I forget numbers that they've used in the past. I don't have an opinion on that one way or the other. I'm just saying historically, back in the 2000 round, ICANN was required any shareholder that had in excess of 5% ownership to be disclosed in the application. That was my recollection.
Guys, it's Simon here. Forgive me, this might be a bit of a newbie question, so I do apologize. Why would we not just be saying as part of this that any registry that wanted to apply for an HSTLD would have to be ICANN accredited from the start? And therefore, would that kind of mitigate against this kind of problem?
Is that
Simon, there's two reasons to put this in there. The first is to give us a vehicle to make the control a little bit more stringent, and the second is, presumably, that a registry might do this once when they were applying for a TLD through the normal ICANN process. The advantage that the HSTLD process gives, though, is, again, presumably to get either the highest green mark in a scorecard or a certification, they would have to recertify this control every so often. So even if the officer, over a period of time, we would re-verify those things, giving us a little bit better control than just checking at it at time of registration.
Right, okay.
Yeah, effectively, this program would be doing the due diligence to ensure that that information is correct.
Correct. It's very well stated.
This is Mikey.
Go ahead, Mikey. You have the floor.
Andy, I just want to make sure that you're really consciously zeroed in on the difference between the sponsor and the operator of the HSTLD, and that you're doing that intentionally, right?
I am trying to do that intentionally, Mikey, but I may have got those roles messed up. So if you tell me I'm wrong, I'll hang my head in shame, but I won't be surprised.
No, I just wanted to make sure that distinction was on purpose, and that presumably somewhere in there's a comparable test for the sponsor in addition to the operator. Or is it your intent only to test the operator and not the sponsor? I haven't read the whole thing.
Mikey, this is Eric. I must have missed something. I didn't know that we had sponsors in this round.
Yeah, well, that's part of the reason I'm raising it. Because
artifact.
Mikey, this is Evan. The way that I interpret this is that the sponsor, that is, the would-be owner of the TLD is ultimately responsible for all of this, and the registry operator is simply their agent or their operator. When we're verifying the controls, it's ultimately what you're calling the sponsor that's ultimately responsible for making sure this is all done. The registry operator, as far as I'm concerned, is merely acting as their agent. Is that...
If I could interrupt.
Okay, wait, Eric, if you can. Ken, I'm going to start a queue here. I'm going to let Evan finish. Eric, you will be able to respond to Evan. And is there anyone else that wants to get in on a queue while I'm building it right now on this topic?
This is Mikey just at the end.
All right, Mikey. Evan, finish up. Eric, you're up on deck.
I'm done.
You're done?
Are you done, Evan?
Evan, are you on mute?
No, sorry, I'm done.
Oh, okay, good. okay, Eric, you're up.
As much as CORE likes to call itself a registry operator, in the registry constituency, other registry stakeholders group, that term of art is restricted to those parties which have entered a contract with ICANN. So, FuntCat is a registry operator. CORE, which operates it, is not. Musedoma is a registry operator. CORE, which operates it, is not. So, Evan, as much as you prefer your own nomenclature, and it is the one that I prefer as well, it is inconsistent with the term of art that's used consistently by the existing registry stakeholder group and by the registry liaison, which interacts with them, and by ICANN staff generally. Thank you. That's it.
Okay, and just one, if I can just add one contribution to your earlier statement, Eric, about sponsors being a historical artifact. I think what we as a group, though, need to focus on is not just future TLDs, but existing. I think the work this group needs to scale both going forward as well as retroactively to the, say, 20 or so GTLDs that are already there, and because sponsors are listed, I think it would potentially be good to not just discard them, but potentially look at them. That's just my point there. Mikey, you have the final word, and we are now 5 minutes over the call, so this is going to be the last substantive matter unless anyone else wants to join in. So you have the floor, Mikey.
And this is just really short. I think that the main point that I was trying to raise is that we have two entities And we need to do two things. I think Eric's right. We need to get the nomenclature consistent with the current terms of art. And I think Evan's right that they are two distinct roles and that we need to address them both. And, you know, so, Andy, to your draft, it's mostly just a heads up that you're going to have to get that language just a little bit crisper than it is right now.
I'm expecting that, Mikey. Any suggestions for how to do that, whether a qualifier or maybe even a footnote to say this is what we mean, or however the best mechanical way to do that, please let me know on the mailing list, because, again, you know, I don't know the ins and outs at this level. That's a little bit beyond my reach.
And you're doing a great job at it, and we'll help you. That's where the group comes in with the shared expertise of everyone on the team. So, as I usually do at the end of a call, is there anyone that would like to have the floor to talk about anything that we have discussed or have not discussed today before calling this to the end? So, what is it, Francisco? Any contributions? Mikey?
Someday I'd like to visit that long conversation we've been having on the list, that I've forgotten the title, but, you know, what are we really up to? Not today. I think we've got some loose ends and the basic principles that we need to go back and tie off at some point.
I agree, and I think that is definitely the intention, but what we've tried to do here, I think, is at least on a parallel path move forward with producing some of the controls, and not. I think we're approaching this in a parallel, not necessarily a sequential path to get some of our work done. Eric, any last words today?
Sure, Mike. Is there ever going to be an ICANN event? Activity that doesn't become a who is accuracy slugfest?
I'm trying to keep it out of a slugfest, but some things are perhaps inevitable. Good point, though. Brian Cute.
No, I'm fine. Thanks, Mike.
Rick Wilhelm.
That's all good.
Thanks. Jeff Schmidt. Hey, Simon.
I'm good, thanks, Mike.
Excellent. David?
Nothing further.
Excellent. Steve Holston sent me an email saying he was dropping off. Dave Piscatello?
I'm here.
Excellent. Evan?
I'm really happy with the way you've done it, and I agree with the fact there's two different things. There's a technical aspect we're dealing with here. There's a business aspect we're still needing to deal with, but I totally appreciate the way that they're being separated out so one doesn't stall the other.
Excellent. And is there anyone else who joined the call late that did not get a chance to speak?
Oh, hi, Mike. This is Jonathan. Just checking in.
There you go. Jonathan. And I pronounced your name right.
Thanks, Mike.
Pronounced name right again. Jonathan, do you have any contributions?
No. I think I kind of concur with Eric. We're going to sort of, I think, phase shift over into talking about who is accuracy for a lot of what we're doing here. But I think we're on target. As Evan said, I think if we decouple the different pieces of this, we can probably look at what we can reasonably accomplish. And I think that ties into what Mikey brought up, the thing we probably want to look at. It ties into your whole, should this be coupled to the DAG? I think if we were to take and break it up into pieces that would apply or might possibly apply to the DAG and maybe abandon what we don't need to do, or at least look at the control elements as being things that could be done after DAG or away from DAG and still get security. That's all I want to say.
Excellent. Anyone else?
This is Joe Sands. May I just send my comments along to the list?
Who's that?
Joe Sands.
Oh, okay. Joe, sure, please.
I'll just send them along to the list.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. And I think that's it. Thank you, everyone. I think it's safe to say we had a productive and a constructive call and moved the ball forward towards the goal line. Thank you, everyone, and as I said, I will be sending out an email so that we could see whether there is any need to adjust the times for the future calls. Thanks again, everyone, and look forward to speaking to everyone on the email list as well as on next week's call. Bye.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Mike.
You.
Thanks. Thanks.
Bye.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.